believe it's another week gone by. Mm-hmm. It's Wisdom in Golf and Golf's Perfect Imperfections, and I'm here with Sav and Moo.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And we are getting ready for the shoulder season. Sav and Moo are on their way out tomorrow, or tonight, actually, to Vegas and then to Mesquite, Nevada for Moo's big finale.
Yeah, Worlds are this weekend. Well, this week, yeah. Next.
Yeah, by the time they hear this podcast, we'll be there.
Exactly. That'll be really, really cool. So, you know, stay tuned for that on YouTube. What are the days that you're competing?
I'm in group 8, and that'll be the 28th.
My birthday.
The 28th on Sav's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be at 3 p.m.
And you will be facing off the likes of Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, Sean Johnson and Martin Borgmeier. A few big
Martin
names.
Borgmeier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you believe it? Yeah. You're right there with those boys.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty pretty tough.
It'll be tough for sure, but, yeah. You know, gosh darn it. I mean, you've done so well this year already.
Yeah.
Had your personal best 397 yards.
Yeah.
I think it's, I think that'd be pretty cool if you could just make another personal best.
I think so, too. Yeah,
that would be a good goal.
Yeah, I think I'll be able to push that potential.
Would you? Would you say that's one of your goals for that particular event?
Yeah, it is. And I think the time that I'm going at, it's actually the first time I've been in a group in the afternoon. Usually it's been in the a.m.
Yes.
Like 8 a.m. and the ball doesn't go that far early in the morning.
Right.
Usually like your longest balls are like 350.
Right.
So this time it'll be a different, obviously more atmosphere because, you know, people will be more people in the afternoon.
Right. More people in the afternoon, more energy.
Yeah.
Probably maybe the wind will be up. It may have a little more of a tailwind, more heat.
Yeah, that's it. So, conditions are definitely going to be interesting. How that plays out as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's so much to expect and can't wait to, you know, just pull it all out there.
You know, that's all you can do, man. So you have your task.
Yeah, that's it.
And we've been working on making your ball flights just a little tighter with leverage.
Yeah, the leverage lessons that we had, definitely helped a lot in the last few days. That's all that was missing.
Anchoring that snap.
Yeah, anchoring the snap, and that helped a lot in the speed sessions I had last week. You know, just kind of like when ramping it up, I saw consistent ball speed, but also obviously tighter dispersion in the ball flights.
More consistent ball speed and a tighter dispersion. Now that's a nice recipe to have for long ball.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
and then just get lucky on the right spot on the grid from that point. Because sometimes it's just wherever you land on the grid, right?
Well, the thing about this grid, does it have
a hard section? Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, around 350, 360. It's the spot where you want to be, like.
So you need to carry the 360 mark, you know, to get that speed pocket.
Yeah, speed pocket. Then, from there it's...
Because it is...
It's a turf.
Yeah, so it's an artificial turf field.
Yeah.
But...
they get some wear and tear, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially with that sun that beats on it, you know, all year round, almost.
Yeah.
And there being, like, stuff on
it. With a name like Mesquite, is going to be some sun beating down.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, like, 37 degrees.
Yeah. So
next week?
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
Going to be toasty.
That's going to be toasty.
So there's going to be some big numbers for sure, like in the 380s probably.
So
not over 400 for sure.
The last outing you had.
Sorry.
I mean, how many balls did you hit? During that day session.
Just that one day session, probably easily 200 balls.
200 balls, all out.
Yeah, including the range, because you have to warm up too, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so anywhere between 200 and 300 balls.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, the competition, like, itself,
you get
it was a longer format, too, this time, so it was, like...
It was a lot more competitors.
I think it was at least 100 that you guys were hitting for a competition.
Just as far as competing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to hit some shots where you got to stay warm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in between your sets,
right? Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's going to be more on this one?
Because it's a world, it's tough to say. It's depending on the format and how fast things go.
So you have how many guys in your
My group?
In your group.
16. So the preliminary rounds are the 27th and 28th. So everybody's split up into groups of 16.
Right.
And you do a round robin within your group.
Okay.
And then the 29th, they take like the groups of 64 and they do something else.
Okay.
And I think the first is when they have just the top 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all week you're trying to accumulate points, I believe.
Yeah.
And then...
Okay.
Working your butt off to make the top 16.
Right. So every set counts.
Yeah. And this is going to be pretty cool because you're going up against people from different parts of the world too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because you see different techniques, different, you know.
So you should, technically, you should be able to see through the second round. So what are they going to split it in two for the 64? The top 64 move on?
So... Top eight move out of each group.
Okay.
Each preliminary group. And then I'm not really sure what the format is the day after.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So it'll be a wait and see kind of thing probably.
So if you put down some good numbers and you do well, you should be able to make it, you know, out of the first day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then into the second day. And then it boils down to last day is top 16?
I mean, that's what I'm assuming it would
be.
Yeah, because they have to bring it down to the best of the best. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
This one seems to be busier than last year.
Yeah, it is. They had almost 128 signups from different parts of the world.
Wow.
So I imagine it's going to be chaos because there's, and what, like on my day, I think there's four or five groups, and on the first day on the 27th, there's another five groups.
Of 16.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 So it's a lot of organization. I'm curious to see how they, you know, it plays out on its own.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be.
I wonder if.
That's going to be a great week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it's like a hectic week, but like a fun week.
Good.
From what we've heard.
That's it. And then you got your best caddy, Savannah.
Yeah.
That's it. She won't be. Hers was in Japan. We didn't make that one. Hopefully they can make things easier for the next time around. That was just too crazy.
Yeah, logistic wise, it just didn't work out for me, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been really fun to go out there, but we watched it on YouTube and it seemed like it was, they put on a good show.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, if for the ones that were nearby, you know, I mean, Japan's not the closest place to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot of traveling for just staying there for 3 days.
Yeah, you'd have to like extend your trip somehow, and then
you gotta get out there for, you know, like when you go to Australia.
Mm. Yeah,
the last time I went, you got to go for more than a week because I mean it's 2 days travel basically.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the time adjustment and you know it's like seeing the sun. You know when I'm looking up, I don't look south for the sun midday. Yeah. I have to look north for the sun midday in Australia.
Right. It's
which is, like, yeah.
Everything's backwards a little
everything,
bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an adjustment period.
For sure.
And, you know, when you want to be performing at your best, it's, and you don't want to get lost out there either.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was off the beaten path.
I think it was like a two, from what I understood, it was like a 2 hour drive from the airport.
It was, 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, Japan can't be the easiest place to find your bearings.
Not if you don't speak the language or understand, like, the signage and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. But hopefully next year it's back in Mesquite with the guys.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool having the guys and girls together.
I think so.
Because that's how it usually is anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's nice to have... like the extra support from all the guys that are competing there out with the women.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Just helps, like, build the sport up for the ladies' side.
Well, all right. So, good luck to Moo.
Thank you, Sean.
Enjoy the week, man. It's, we'll be watching on YouTube.
I'm going to be a bundle of nerves.
And I can't wait for Saf to send those clips over, and I'll keep everybody posted on this end.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, we have, you know, a little bit. I mean, we're working on reorganizing our premium channel.
Right.
And because we've accumulated a lot of content. I mean, you know, and it's just like a, there's only like maybe two videos out of the 600 videos that are in there that I would want to redo on. And we've just redone those lately with the grip and arm tone. And I want to let everybody know, for those of you who are on the premium channel or anticipate getting on the premium channel, I'm laying myself out there for some extra time with you. If you're struggling in any way, because things resonate differently for different people. I mean, there's no way that you then that everything on that premium channel is not going to resonate with you. Only certain parts of it are. It's my way as a teacher to have 200 different ways to say the same thing. And people are going to interpret things very differently. Everybody has their own filters. Mm-hmm. You come from it's such a mess right now. Instruction has been a mess for the last 100 years. So where you're coming from is very different than somebody else. So send me a clip of your swing, a 7-iron from down the line and from face on, and send it to my personal email, seanclement@me.com, S-H-A-W-N, the W, mm-hmm. Clement, all in one word, @me.com, and let me know what your focus is, let me know what your target is, let me know what the last thing that's going through your mind just before you swing is, so I know where your mind is at. It's, you know, you can't do anything wrong. And then I will point you to which videos that you should be watching in the order you should be watching them in, and give you next steps on what to master. And that'll point you in the right direction. And from there, you should be able to find your way. And if not, well, a couple of months later, after you digested what we talked about, because it is a process, send me another video analysis. Okay? And there's plenty of extra support. I mean, we're now entering our third year of the Eagle Plus and Double Eagle program. And it's just been phenomenal. Like, the videos that have just come out that we're putting out this week on, you know, it's our third excerpt on leverage. I mean, this is stuff that has really helped a lot of my students lately. And we've had just tremendous breakthroughs. And you guys are on the front lines of that, of those breakthroughs. So if you don't get it, it's okay. You know, I want to find you where you're at and, you know, give you what you need to get yourself to that next level. And as you're progressing, as you're understanding, as you're enjoying, I mean, that's all that matters. But if you're confused, you don't know what to focus on, you have no idea what you're doing when you're standing over the ball, we got to fix that, right? You can't be there. And I care way too much for you guys to be in that painful situation, okay? So please, let's remedy that. Send your stuff out to me, and we're gonna work extra hard to get you to where you need to be, because I care. So that's my tidbit on that particular aspect, Sav. Yep. And one of our premium members, Pat, who's been with us for a while, and there have been some nice improvements, like width of stance and grip and ball position, and she's in the right place to deliver what she needs to deliver. But she's still worried about ball contact, and it's obvious that when we look at her swing, that she's not swinging freely towards a target. She's making sure she doesn't leave the ball behind on her way to the target.
Right.
And that's something that we just remedied in a swing analysis that I'm going to be bringing to the premium channel not this week, but the following week. We're gonna have one more on leverage that's been just a very important video for everyone to share. And then we're going to have Pat's swing analysis on the following Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And so looking forward to bring that to you. And Pat, hang in there. We got help on the way. And you're really going to enjoy that analysis. It'll be well worth your while to wait for it. I had to, prepare extra for that one. And there we have it, man. And we just, to finish off the show, we just had Jake in town.
Yep. Yeah.
And Jake is from Florida, and he's a fellow soccer player.
Yeah.
So, he's a striker as well, right, Sav?
Yep.
6'5".
Yeah. Interesting for a striker.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, I was like, man.
But, I mean, for headers in front of the net.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for height.
Major advantage.
Mm-hmm. Major advantage.
Yeah.
You could find that head, right, Sav? Oh, from the corner?
Yeah. 100%.
So, Jake, had a really nice career in soccer and just did an about face and said, listen, okay, I want to be self-reliant. And I really, really enjoy golf, and I want to see how far I can go in golf. Sounds familiar, right, Sav?
Yep, just a little bit. When he said that, I was like, wow, sounds so familiar.
And so we've been coaching him online for a few months, and we had the pleasure of him coming up. We gave him a little extra air conditioning.
Yeah, it was chilly.
The first day was chilly, and then we were okay. It was like in the mid-60s.
Yeah.
For the next 2 days. And man, was that was a phenomenal visit. We were able to really fine tune this stuff. Like grip is can get pretty tedious, mm-hmm. For some people. And he had just gotten fit for some new clubs. He had the new Titleist T100s, mm-hmm. S, and he had the TSI 3 driver.
It's a good driver.
And he didn't have a fairway wood yet, and I had him try the TSR 3 fairway wood. And boy, oh boy, is that a nice club.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful golf club. They really did a great job with that.
Yeah, their woods and...
So you got to give them kudos for that.
Yeah, woods and drivers from Titleist are pretty,
yeah,
pretty
good. They've arrived on that one for sure. And so it was great getting him fit for a three wood there. Mm-hmm. And we spent 3 solid days. He went out with Moo.
Yeah, I played a couple of days.
Immediately he was competing with Moo. Mm-hmm. It's just like they went for it, and they had a nice tie match.
Yeah.
And so Moo's just got a big smile on his face because he could see how eager Jake was.
Yeah, he was. He said even on the first day when we took the course lesson, in his head he was already like competing with me. It's like, okay, he got me on this hole, because he's like, that's that's the mentality he kind of got from his dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the mentality of an athlete, right? When a soccer player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So they're seeking competition.
Yeah, yeah. He's always looking for competition. You can tell, and he's like, he's hungry for it. Like, he wants to be obviously playing with the best right away, but obviously he understands he's got a hurdle to get through first.
And right.
Yeah.
And he's doing a phenomenal job. He's getting out there regularly. He's in in one of the best states for golf, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's out in Florida.
Yeah.
And 22 years old, very
Riley's age.
So it's nice to see that, that youthful exuberation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we got him shot making in a real solid way.
Yeah.
Fine tune the short game, fine tune the grip, fine tune that release, showed him how to hit those piercing stinger shots.
Yeah.
And and got to figure out what are the tasks that would work best for him.
Right.
Hovering the club was a big one. Mm-hmm. And that, it never ceases to amaze me how, at address, so many of our students perform better when they hover the club head just a couple of millimeters off the ground where it's hanging from the shoulder sockets, mm-hmm. and they can feel the weight of that arm club unit, and they respond so much better, you know, with their bodies and their legs, when they already have the feel of that arm club unit, mm-hmm. and they don't have to pick it up and start, you know, yanking it around just to see where the hell it's at.
Yeah.
And it's something that you'll see a lot of tour players like Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, Jack Nicklaus did that his whole career. Mm-hmm. He always hovered the club at address. He says, well, A, you'll never get penalized if the ball moves because you never ground your club. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
That's a big one. When you really think about that, you know, you're in the rough and the ball moves. Well, I didn't ground my club. I don't ground my club. It's not part of my routine.
I didn't know that was a penalty or a rule.
Well, if you ground your club, if the club is sold behind the ball,
yeah.
and the ball moves, mm-hmm. penalty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Done that once.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, because it's not intentional.
It's not intentional.
No, that's not. No. Yeah, it's,
and especially when you're in the rough, because the ball will just fall deeper into the hole.
I mean, yeah.
Enough of a penalty anyway.
But literally, like, it's a sphere. What mm-hmm. It's not going to not move.
Technically.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. It's
an unintentional
thing. It's the price honest people pay for those who, I mean, there's been some heavy-duty talk lately on social media on some heavy-duty cheating. Mm. In Q school.
Oh, you know? Shoot.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure those of you who are in the know, you know, I don't like naming names, but I mean, that particular individual was really asking for it.
This is in the news and like on the Golf Channel.
This is
Golf WRX, right?
There was Golf WRX had published something on it, mm-hmm. and it's all over Twitter.
Oh, shoot.
And, you know, just flagrant stuff. Mm. So, and we've seen certain players on the PGA Tour ground their club and move debris away from the back of the ball when, you know, gosh darn it,
it's not legal.
Well, that's it. I mean, you can't improve on your lie. I mean, it's simple. You know, it's the rub of the green. Mm-hmm. And that's something that was instilled in me at a very young age from some elderly Scottish players at our club. Yeah. And I will forever be grateful to mm-hmm. those guys. Mr. Patterson, you know, what an amazing individual. God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. I started playing 40 years ago.
Wow.
And I still remember to this day his words, his accent, Mr. Clement, you can't be doing that. that's not a proper way to, you know, improve your lie. So, mm-hmm. you know, they would explain to me how to, you know, take relief mm-hmm. and the etiquette around the game and everything else. I mean, it was just prim and proper. So if you've ever played with a Scottish person who's a, you know, lifelong, you know, player of the game and a lifelong student of the game, they are sticklers for the rules. Mm-hmm. And it really is the game of golf at its purest.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciate that kind of education. And it's something where when you see somebody in a tournament taking certain liberties, well, first I feel bad for them for not having that kind of an education.
Fair, it's rare to get.
And then it falls on my shoulders to make sure they do get the education. You know, I remember us, you know, in a staff tournament back in Richmond Hill. And one of the guys I was playing against, and I was giving him a lot of strokes, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember shooting 65 and losing because I had to give somebody a lot of strokes.
Yeah.
So when they start taking practice swings in a bunker, I'm going, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, let's not get too crazy here.
I don't mind letting certain things fall off my back, but that one's we're gonna have to have a little talk here.
Yeah,
because
I
just can't focus anymore. I have to really get this off my chest. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but I mean, I just can't play golf anymore if I see you do that.
When you're giving them strokes and then they're taking advantage.
Well, they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
And it's important that, you know, we take the time to educate them. You mm-hmm. say, hey, listen, I know we're in a match, and I don't want to penalize you, but I'd really like to educate you on this. Mm-hmm. And you can't be doing that. And this is how, you know, you can't ground your club and mm-hmm. You can't test the sand and you can't be, you know, mm-hmm. doing stuff like that. So it's so if you see that happening, politely let them know. Mm-hmm. And if they continue doing that, well.
Just don't play with them anymore.
Exactly. they get on your personal blacklist.
Yeah. that's a no-go.
And if they show up, if you're in an important tournament like the club championship with that person, mm-hmm. then get some witnesses. Mm-hmm. Bring in some witnesses. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you're going to protect yourself. I've never been one to shy away from inviting the marshal over in a tournament. I remember in a Canadian tour event that I was playing in Prince Edward Island, mm-hmm. the person I was playing with was exceedingly slow. And this is something that you can use to your advantage mm-hmm. because they'll pick up very quickly on who the slow person is. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't play my game anymore. So it started out with over a minute on their approach shots and over 2 minutes on their putts, and it didn't take long for us to be out of position. We were like two holes behind, mm-hmm. and right away I flagged down the next marshal. I brought the marshal over, and I politely asked him, could you please put us on the clock?
Yeah.
Which people would think I'm crazy mm-hmm. for even demanding that.
Yeah.
And I said, no, the marshal needs to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So the marshal says, yes, gentlemen, you are, you know, he looked at me kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And then he looked around and he's, you know, he figured it out real quick.
Yeah.
And he said, gentlemen, you're behind. You're officially on the clock.
Mm. Right.
And then so he followed us for three holes. Mm-hmm. And the person who was slow mm-hmm. came to the marshal and said, marshal, really, I feel rushed right now. Could you please leave? Mm-hmm. He says, buddy. Not naming names, but he says, buddy,
yeah.
you just took a minute six on that last shot. Mm-hmm. I ain't going nowhere. And you better pick up your socks because I'm just about to penalize you.
Right. Thanks.
And then finally I got my game back. Mm-hmm. I played a brilliant back nine to get back into things.
Yeah.
Because I was really struggling.
Yeah. I'm
going, I feel like my whole life is passing me by here.
Yeah.
You know?
I felt like that too before. There is the tournament that I was in, and I was playing with another girl. I think it was just the two of us. Three. I think we were three in the group.
Yeah.
And I noticed, like, literally on the first hole, second shot, I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be long with her. And then the marshal came over, and he was like, just a heads up. Just make sure you guys are keeping pace because she's extra slow.
Why are you telling me?
I know.
Why aren't you telling her?
I know. Yeah. I was like,
excuse me?
I don't know if he was like telling me to like just give me a heads up for like my own personal mental well-being for the round or like what, but.
This was Marshall? Mm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, that's special. Well, first question, why is she here?
Yeah.
Why is she playing?
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, she's got to get that act together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what I love about long drive, though.
Yeah.
You got 2.5 minutes for six balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is.
Serious shot clock, yeah.
That is what's the time on that? 35 seconds per shot.
Mm-hmm. Just about, yeah. Yeah.
Well, duh, that we're supposed to have 40 seconds to play a shot. Mm-hmm. That's a brilliant shot clock.
Yeah.
You don't feel rushed, do you?
No, because I practice within those confines.
Yes.
So the more efficient I become with that practice, the easier it is when in competition. It's like you're not even thinking about how much time you got left. You're just all right.
You're just in a routine.
Just in routine, yeah.
If you want golf to go somewhere, that's the key. Shot clock.
Yeah.
40-second shot clock for the second person playing.
Yeah.
50. Give them a minute then. Give them a minute if they're first off.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to the tee box. They get 20 seconds to get their bearings.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, it starts. Because everybody else is already preparing while they're waiting for them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's a minute for the person who's got the honors.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else, it's 40 seconds. Let's go.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome.
Like, that is... could you imagine on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it would be so much faster.
Oh, it'd be so much fun. You know, you're in the crowd, and then there's a 10-second countdown.
Yeah,
nine,
no,
eight.
But no.
Wow, come on, let's go. That'd be a lot of fun.
No, that would not be good.
Hey,
just give them the shot clock. Don't count them down.
But I feel like they'll adapt easily. Like, if you have it in their
right?
face, if you have it in their face, or somewhere where they can see their shot clock.
I'm watching you, and it looks you're cruising. You don't look pressed for time at all. You're actually looking for that last ball, and you go, okay, I got my last ball. There's 30 seconds on the clock right there. I'm all set, and ease into it, you know?
Yeah, you're in your own bubble.
You're on your own bubble, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that would be the healthiest thing, because then juniors would, you know?
That's it,
if you want, because right now juniors are imitating. Everything is about the imitation of the PGA Tour. And by the way, that's our next podcast. So I'm going to cut it there.
Okay,
okay, people.
So
why the PGA Tour is the reference for everything that goes on in the world of golf. So let's stop it at that one, people.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your week. And looking forward to speaking to you again next week with PGA Tour the copycats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy.
All the best.
Take care.